1 John chapter 3, verse 20 to 24 today. 1 John 3. It's good to know the truth, to know that you really know. And boy, it's really good to know that you know you're going to heaven and you're saved and you don't have to doubt or wonder or think about it, but you just know. You know, there's a lot of things in life that you know and you think you know, but then something comes up and you wonder, do I really know this? We can know, and that's what the book of 1 John is about. We can know how, and it tells us how we know we are true believers, born-again Christians, and we know those that aren't. We can know that. 1 John 2, verse 3. Now by this, and when you get a chance, look how many times the word know is here in 1 John. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And his commandment was, you know, you must be born again. We know him because we keep his commandments. We're obedient. 1 John 2, 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We know those that aren't his, that don't know him. They don't keep his commandments. 1 John 2, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things concerning our salvation here. Because we have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, we know all things about this. It's good to know that. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. You know the truth, and that no lie is of the truth. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We know we're going to see the Lord and have that new glorious body. We know that. We know that because we keep his commandments. 1 John 3, 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. We know we have eternal life because we're doing what the Lord told us to, love the brethren. The world doesn't love the brethren, but we do. So we know we're okay. We have eternal life. 1 John 3, 16. By this we know love. We know real love. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We know real love because God demonstrated real love through Jesus Christ. 1 John 3, 19. By this we know that we are of the truth, hey, we're right, we know the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Before all those things we went over, we obey the word, we love the brethren, therefore we know that we are of the truth, and that assures our hearts before him. We can rest assured that we know him. You know, there's a lot of things you don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know. But it's wonderful to know these things, isn't it? To know real truth about life. We know it. So that means we don't need anything else but the Lord and his word. We don't need to look at new things or check out things because we know Jesus and believe we're blessed. Now, we might not know as much as other people in the world about many things. We might not know a lot at all. Maybe we do. But we know truth. And we know why we are here and where we are going. We know that. We're safe because we're God's children. Now, isn't it good to know that no matter what else we know in life? We know that. However, now we know that. And he tells us so much in the book of 1 John. However, the enemy Satan and his followers would like us to doubt truth and even deny it. He wants to get us to doubt or think about our faith in things and about the Lord and about our eternity. That's what he loves to do. At times, the devil can get into your head and make you and I feel unworthy. That's why John is writing this. False teachers can come along and lay a trip on you or works and make you feel unworthy. And Satan would love to do that. Or try to make what we believe a lie and say, oh, that's very simplistic. Do you really believe that stuff? You know, we believe in creation because we believe in God. If you don't believe in creation, I don't know how you can believe that evolution stopped with this. We're devolving now, going the other way. We've reached the top. You see, there's no evolution. And how did everything start? From nothing? We know the truth. We know everything. But people can get into your head. The enemy can get into your head and get you to have doubt. It's easy to feel unworthy of the things we have in Jesus, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If we look at ourselves in the flesh, we can feel unworthy. Oh, is it all true? Would God really save me? Do I have all these things? Is God really going to bless me and take care of me? Remember this, it's not what you think about yourself, it's what God thinks of you. It's always what God thinks of you. And he loves you, and he loves me, and we're his children. And we know the truth, and we know he's always going to love us. But Satan is around, and so he writes in verse 20, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." See, many times a person can condemn themselves. And maybe they have committed a sin, but repented, confessed, and are right with God. You must know that you are forgiven in the Lord. 1 John tells us that. If we confess, we're forgiven. Sometimes, you know, people can feel like they're not forgiven. We know we are. We know the truth, so we're forgiven. Sometimes people think, I haven't done enough for the Lord. And I feel guilty. And there's conviction in their heart. And you know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He loves to attack us and make us feel unworthy. Well, how could God do that for me? And he's saying in verse 20, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Isn't that great? It means that God knows our heart and our faith. And he knows the love in here that we have for him. And we know he loves us. This verse is an encouragement against false condemnation. We can't let the enemy get us to doubt or feel condemned or guilty. If we're practicing righteousness, if we're following the Lord, we love God and others, we shouldn't have a lack of assurance of our faith. It tells us that in verse 19, and it shall assure our hearts before him. We need to just know that God is greater. Even if I feel miserable and unworthy and guilty, but I've done the right thing and I've come to the Lord, confess my sin, God is greater than my heart, more than what I think. I know truth and I know I'm forgiven. God is greater. Romans 8, verse 1, please. Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation. The enemy can't get us in any way because we know we're saved and we've confessed and we're not guilty. There's no condemnation for us You notice, though, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Sometimes people can be walking in sin and they should feel guilty. But that should drive them to confession and ask for forgiveness. If you feel guilt, you know, if you're not assured of your faith or where you are with God, check yourself out. If there's sin, it needs to be confessed. Get right with God and know you are forgiven. You're forgiven. And God forgives us. And he's greater than our heart. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation. See, God knows our heart and his forgiveness is real. We need to focus on God and the truth. And verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. You know, if our heart doesn't condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. We're assured. If we're walking right, following the Lord, and our heart is not guilty or doesn't feel condemned, well, we have confidence toward God. A lot of times the problem is we might be living a way God doesn't want us to live or taking part in sin, and our heart is condemning us. But then we need to confess and repent and get right with God. We need a change. Maybe God's saying, hey, get right with me. Confess. A lot of times the case is just the enemy attacking us, and we are walking right with the Lord. We need to know God knows our heart. But if there's, and if our, the perfect place is when we're acting and living out our faith, then our heart won't condemn us. And then we have this peace with God. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. We know we're right toward God. See, a lot of times we can feel condemnation or guilt, and it's from the enemy. And then or maybe you get sick, or you have a problem in life, and you start to wonder, does God still love me? Or is everything okay with God? And you can start to doubt or not feel assured in your heart. Just focus on the Lord and know the things you know. And then all of a sudden your heart feels assured and it doesn't condemn you. You know you're just going through a little trial here. But now you're all right with God. With God, your heart doesn't condemn you. You know you're living right and doing the right thing. You're living it out. We need to look at our life, our actions, our deeds. And if we have to adjust, we do. If not, we just pray and ask God to bring us back that confidence. Verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, here's another one of those verses in the Bible that people have questions on. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Now, we just read, you know, that God loves us. Our heart, you know, heart, we should live right with him. Then we'll have this assurance in our heart. And we'll have confidence toward God. And so what it leads to is a proper prayer life. When we're living for the Lord, when our heart is right with God, we've examined ourselves, there's nothing there to feel guilty about. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. This puts us in the right attitude of prayer and receiving answer. But you notice the last part of it? Why we receive it from him? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We're following the Lord. Now, if I'm obeying his commandments and doing things that are pleasing in his sight, I'm living for the Lord and I'm living the way I'm supposed to, and my life is right with God and I'm following Jesus, whatever we ask, we receive from him. How can that be? Because when I'm living right and I'm following Jesus, and I ask, I will be asking things that are according to his will. They won't be personal or materialistic or fleshly in nature, because I would always want what God wants for me. You know, in Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16, it says we should come boldly before the throne of God to receive mercy and grace. A benefit of a blessing of being in fellowship with the Lord, practicing righteousness and loving the brethren, is answered prayer. See, because when I'm in that position, you find it very difficult to pray selfishly. Because you, even though you may want something, as Paul did, you really want God's will. Because you know that's best. See, when we're obeying God and we're keeping his commandments, doing those things that are pleasing in his sight, he will answer our prayers. Why? Because our prayers, our desire will be exactly what God wants. We can pray for healing, pray for provision, for people to be blessed, for God to minister. And we pray with wanting God's perfect will to be done on how he does it. So our prayer will be answered. We ask and we receive from him. Jesus in the garden, he said, he prayed, if possible, take this cup away from me, having to go to the cross. But he says, nevertheless, your will be done. See, Jesus prayed that if it were the Father's will to provide another way for salvation, don't let him have to go through that. But nevertheless, he said, let your will be done. Now, I'm so glad Jesus prayed that, because today I'm saved. Because he went to the cross and good came out of that. See, we never know the way God's going to answer. Sometimes it's going through the trial, through the sickness, because that's God's will. The Apostle Paul was righteous, a man of God. God heard his prayer. Now, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul writes here, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, that he heard things in paradise, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, something in his flesh, some, whether it was a disease or affliction, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And now, so he has this affliction, this thorn in the flesh, and he prayed. And he says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. He says, God, please, take this away from me. Three times. And the Lord answered him and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, God answered Paul's prayer. And we just read in 1 John, when we're in that place of righteousness and obeying God, when we pray, he answers our prayer. And it tells us that. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Now you say, but Paul didn't get healing. But Paul's prayer was answered. Because Paul was really praying for the strength to continue on preaching the gospel. That's what he really wanted to do in life. And so he prayed for the affliction to be gone. And the Lord says, I've got a better way, Paul. Rather than take it away, I'm going to give you the power to go through it. So he answered Paul's prayer because Paul was powerful in preaching and he went through much affliction, but God gave him the strength and the power to do it. When we pray, God will answer our prayer. We receive what we ask, but even in a better way than we could even think of. And that's what God did for him. I mean, do you think it would be better for Paul if he healed this one affliction? And then Paul went through many more, which he did. and maybe had a difficult time, or that God would just give him that strength and that power to go through the rest of his life doing what he's doing. That was better. So that's the way he answered his prayer. Paul prayed and he received an answer. And we receive God's answer. So we have this confidence, verse 22, that when we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, we will receive what we ask. Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37, verse 3. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. There's another place. Delight yourself also in the Lord. In other words, your pleasure is in him. You love to please him. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Again, people think that's just a license to ask whatever you want and God will give it to you. But it's contingent on delighting yourself in the Lord. And if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, you want his will done in your life. You're delighting in him. Not in the way he's going to work things out in your life. You're delighting yourself in him, and he's your pleasure, he's your delight, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because the desire of your heart will be to have his perfect will done in your life and be close to him and be used by him. And only God knows what his plan for your life is, so you want what he wants for you. And so the desire of our heart will be, God, I want what you have for me. Bless me. If you want me to have this, give it to me. If not, don't. Whatever you want, Lord. And he'll give you that desire of your heart. A lot of times we think we know the answer to the prayer. We don't. Maybe there's a job here and you say, oh, Lord, I would love that. And God says, but I've got something better. And whatever in life, we might think that's it, but God says, no, there's something else. Just delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the desire of your heart, because he knows the real desire of our heart. And the real desire of our heart is to be in the center of God's will, because that's the best place to be. You see? If I were to ask you, what would you really want in your life? I know what I would say. God's perfect will. What about you? Even though I would want a lot of other things, if I really thought about it and was serious with God, I would say God's perfect will. I would have to admit that. I would say that. I could ask for a lot of other things. But really, the desire of my heart would be God's perfect will, because if I prayed for something else above that and I got it, I would often wonder, was that God's will for my life? I want God's will. No matter how great I might think that other thing is, I want to delight myself in the Lord and really pray for God's will to be done in my life. Delight in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 22. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know, it tells us in Romans 8:26, sometimes we don't know how to pray, so we more or less pray with groanings up to God and let our spirit intercede for us. Because God knows what should happen in that situation. It's not wrong to admit, I don't know what to pray for. And just groan to God and let your spirit pray to God and pray for the right thing. Isn't that wonderful to have the right thing done? And God will do it. But you got to be abiding in Christ, like it says in John 15. You know, we must be abiding in Christ like the branch. And let's turn to John 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. He tells us here, his disciples, if you abide in me, you're living in the Lord, and my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done to you, be done for you. Isn't that amazing? If we're in Christ, following him, of course, our heart's desire would be God's perfect plan for me. But it says in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. See, God wants us to bear fruit for him. And only he knows how to do that in our life. So we pray for certain things, but always as Jesus did, nevertheless, your will be done. And however you want to achieve that, God, do it your way. That's our prayer. And we ask, and as the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be complete. God wants to bless us. And we need to ask for those things that are God's will. And when we don't know specifically, we just groan and pray for God to just answer that need we have in whatever way he wants. Back to our text, verse 23. And this is his commandment. See, it's based on keeping his commandment. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. First of all, you have to be a believer. That we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That eliminates a lot of people, and they wonder, why isn't God answering my prayer? Hey, I pray and God's not answering. Well, do you believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another? See, that's how we know that God hears our prayers, that we are his child, that we can be assured we're going to heaven, because we believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, and we love one another. You know, the Bible tells us God's ear is not heavy or isn't dull that he can't hear, but your sin has separated you from God. It tells us right here, this is his commandment, that you believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And believe means you trust and rely on, you cling to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then as a result of that, you will love one another. And he gave us that commandment. Now, the first thing you can ask a person, well, are you a born-again believer? Well, no. Do you fellowship with God? No. Do you pray? No. Only when you have a need? Well, the Bible doesn't talk about answering those kind of prayers. This is contingent on believing on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and loving one another. Then we can be assured, we can pray, and we will receive the answer. One prayer God will hear is, Lord, help me. Lord, come into my life. Lord, speak to me. You know, people can seek the Lord and he'll answer that prayer. But as far as having this prayer life where you're assured, not till they're born again. That's why we intercede for people. And that's what it tells us here in verse 23. Contingent upon believing in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and loving one another. A lot of people have hate in their heart, angry, wondering why their prayers aren't being answered. Rebellion in the house, not obeying his word. Why aren't my prayers being answered? Just read 1 John chapter 3. That's why your prayers aren't being answered. You can't have a miserable life at home, call yourself a Christian, and believe God is hearing your prayer. Can't be miserable at work or out in the world, living for the world, and expect it to be answered. Right here, believe on his name and love one another. That's easy for us to do. That's what we're always told to do, believe and then love. Verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments Got to keep them. Can't just talk about them. You have to love one another. Let the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, all this come out of you. Fellowship with the Lord. Be in prayer in His Word. He who keeps His commandments abides in Him. That means you're living in Him, and He in Him, and He's living in you. And by this we know, that He abides in us. Now we really know that He abides in us, that we're born again. How? By the Spirit whom He has given us. Here's the way you're really assured of being right with God and being a born-again Christian: by the Spirit whom He has given us. Now, when are we indwelt with the Holy Spirit? When we're born again. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our comforter, our guide. We know He abides in us, that we are the Lord's. How can we be assured of that? By the Spirit of God in us. Let's turn to Romans 8, verse 8. Romans 8, verse 8. See, here we have it. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. So if a person is not born again, because that's the only way you can be indwelt with the Holy Spirit, he's not His. There's no other way to be spiritual apart from being born again. There's no other way to have a relationship with God apart from being born again, because you're still in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit and we're God's property. Now here's what he's really saying. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. Okay, starting in verse 11. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also trusted in Jesus, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, then you believed it, then you were sealed, I was sealed, with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit in me is the guarantee of me being saved, of my inheritance. Because if you just look at yourself, no matter what you're doing, even backsliding from the Lord, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And He's the guarantee of your inheritance, so that you get so convicted and so miserable that you're drawn back to the Lord, because you know you're born again and you're the Lord's. He's your seal and the guarantee. That's the biggest guarantee to me. It's just realizing, wait a minute, I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I know this to be true. I don't need any proof. I have faith. I know this all to be true. I know this is wrong to do. I know this is right to do. And I know that I'm miserable without God. That's the Holy Spirit in you. And you can say, wow, the Bible's right, because there's something inside of me. And that's the Holy Spirit that won't allow us to not believe. Isn't that wonderful? That He's there. He's our guarantee. See, that's why other people can go and live like they want, do what they want to do, and it doesn't even bother them. They don't have that guarantee inside. They don't have the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the comforter, the guide, to keep them away. And you could say, well, don't you know that's wrong? And they, no, I don't. Well, they don't have that. But we know we're saved. And there are people that don't know. Well, I don't know if I know the Lord or not. Well, then you're not. Because when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you know you are. That's the biggest guarantee we have. Lord, we thank you for your word. We just pray, Lord, that tonight you would bless us and that you would control us and take care of us. Lord, we thank you that we have the Holy Spirit. We know these things are all true. We know that we know you, Lord. Even when we fail you, it's miserable. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, if there's any iniquity in us at all, because we want to please you and bless you. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us where we should be. We thank you that you draw us back. Keep us from lies and doubt and deceit. And Lord, we pray tonight that as we worship now, we would just bless you. You're a wonderful God. You love us unconditionally. Lord, we love you. We want to share these words with you, how great you are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.